You want to go ahead and talk? Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Word Bros. It's been a couple weeks since we recorded anything because I was sick, and then I was sick for quite a while. It was pretty bad, actually. And then, we didn't have any guests, and I didn't really feel like talking to anybody.
Is Word Bros the return of Word Bros?
I just wasn't in the mood to talk to anybody. Didn't have any guests, so it's just like, whatever. But here we are. We're back. We're awesome. We're Word Bros. What's up, Kev?
What's going on? How you doing, Bobby?
I'm good, man. Sable.
That doesn't sound good.
I was in the middle of yawning, but I'm doing okay. I'm doing well. Just kicking it.
This is our first fireside chat of 2018.
So yeah, well, we haven't done a podcast since we talked to
Tony.
Since we talked to Tony, and that's
in December.
Yeah, that conversation was very fruitful because we've been talking to Tony about working on a pitch together, which is, I guess, the world we're living in now at this point with Kevin and I. Like, we're not really making books anymore; we're just making pitches. We have a 2018 plan in full effect, which is we're going to make pitches, and then if the pitches don't get picked up, we may kickstart them. That's going to be our plan for 2018. But Kickstarter it's a weird thing, man. Like,
it gives you a weird feeling.
It does. And I'm glad that you said that too, because I feel that way about it. And I'm sure you have an even more kind of stronger feeling about it, because you still have a Kickstarter that's in the works,
in the process of being fulfilled. So I mean, it just takes, you think the way that Kickstarter works is basically you're asking people to pre-order your book and have faith in you to deliver a product.
Yes.
And if you don't deliver the product, that's pretty much on you. And from that point on, because they paid you to get the product made.
Yeah.
So that's the tough part about Kickstarter. And my view on it is you should never bite off more than you can chew, which is what we happen to do. That happens. It happens. You get eager, overexcited. So I am definitely one that's prone to overexcitement. So.
Yes, I will say that is the toughest part of working with Kevin Cuff on any project, is the level of overexcitement that happens, because so many of our conversations end with, oh, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I get very excited, and then I don't worry about the details. I go, we'll make it happen.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. That's Kevin's statement when he doesn't want to talk about something anymore. We'll figure it out. And I do it sometimes too, and I'm just like, how are we going to do this? We'll figure it out.
We do, though. So I can't say it hasn't worked.
It has.
It's just it just tends to lend to periods of overexcitement about comics.
Yes. So
you get very excited. I'm definitely that is definitely one of my character flaws. Yeah. I get overexcited about comics.
Yeah, I mean there are worse flaws to have.
I'm sure, but I'm just saying, like, it doesn't help in the Kickstarter mode, though.
No, and the thing is too, like, my wife and I have talked about Kickstarter, and she's like, you've got two books that are just sitting in the garage that you could kickstart right now. And she says, I don't know why you haven't. I don't know why you're not going to. And I think it's because, like, for me, it's kind of like you were saying, like, and the weird part is there's no pressure to get anything done because it's already finished. Mm-hmm. Like, the book is done already. Like, it's done. We finished two
books.
Yeah. So the hard part would just be like the constant pimping and the fulfillment. And I just don't want to not get a goal, because we already encountered crappy comic existence for the past year. So it's like, I don't want more kind of negativity piled on top of already negative stuff, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
It does.
You know,
we had a very difficult 2017.
But I mean, that's the way the cookie crumbles, I guess. You can't really do anything about it. You just got to keep going, keep fighting, keep moving.
But we pushed on in 2018.
So yeah, we're working on it. Because I'm working on the Metal Shark Bro pitch. You're working on the Dust Pirates pages that we're doing with Tony that just look fucking phenomenal.
They're just amazing.
Yeah.
And we're not saying that because we're part of it. It really has nothing to do with us. It's just, it's all Tony.
Yeah.
Like, he just took the ball. We were like, here's the idea that we had, and this is the basic plot premise, but we didn't really have a lot, just an out like, this is the basic what we had. And he was like, this is a really cool idea. And I was like, cool. And Bobby was like, cool. And then the next couple of days, he just drawing, he just started. It was just crazy.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, I've got like 6 or 7 pages for the Bible thing. And I was like, are you kidding? And he's like, no. And he starts sending them. And I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah,
he's put a lot of thought and work into this.
It was awesome. Like, it was so refreshing. Nice. Yes, it was so nice to kind of be on the end of that. Like, wow, man, this guy is an eager beaver to get stuff done.
But yeah, we did have a rough 2017, so it was nice to see him working on it. And yeah. And
I'm just excited. It's just nice to be, I guess, moving. And then we were going to have him on the show today, but he couldn't do it. I was talking to Mike Exner, and Exner is just... Great. Yeah, he's a good dude, and he was just kind of talking to me and, like, kind of hyping me up a little bit and just making me feel like I could get stuff done, which was nice. Because every now and then you need stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, and Exner has been doing Adamant without Adamant, I think that's how you say it, without any real support but the webcomic community support for, what, years now, right?
Yeah.
So... I mean, there's always that's always a viable export for you guys looking to break into comics, find an artist that would be willing to do a webcomic with.
Yeah, but the thing about webcomics is, and this is something that I don't think people understand, I look at webcomics and podcasting the same way, because once you kind of start your webcomics career, people expect things on certain days. Like, if you're going to update every Monday, then you better update every Monday. Come hell or high water, there better be a new comic there for your audience. And a lot of the times, if there's not, they'll turn on you, because that's the way it was with podcasting. Web comics are similar in that you can lose your audience if you don't post every Monday. So my advice for web people that have been doing web comics, and this is for someone that's never done a web comic, this is just from podcasting, is get 2 months ahead, you know, get a month ahead, get a couple updates ahead. So, you know, if it's Saturday and you update on Monday and you ain't got shit, you ain't scrambling.
Right.
If you're ahead, if you're a couple of days ahead, a couple weeks ahead, then you don't have to worry about it as much, you know? And then at least for like the first 2 months, it should be that way. You know, and then after that, if you've built your audience, they may cut you a little slack. Oh, well, they have updated every Monday for, you know, 2 weeks, or I mean, for like 4 months. That's the whole issue with the first issue. So yeah, maybe they took a break. That's cool, because they got to do some more work. But don't start a webcomic with one strip, Jack, because you're going to be in some trouble, baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to have more in the queue than just, oh yeah, how many you got? Two?
I feel like it's almost a separate part of the comics business, if you catch what I'm saying on that. Like, it's not, but it is. Does that make any sense? You have to have a different mindset going into web comics than you do when you're trying to do print comics.
Yeah. A couple of my friends have done web comics. We should have them on to talk about web comics. And then Michael May and Jason Copeland, Kill All Monsters, started out as a web comic.
It's true.
So, I mean, there are webcomic success stories that can go from web to print to major distribution like that book did. And that book is pretty fantastic. But yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of paths and all kinds of ways to get to where you want to go. It's just a matter of just doing it, you know?
That's the toughest part about any of this.
Yeah.
doing the work, because when you do, when you put the footwork in, and sometimes even when you don't, as we were talking about with Tony, we just had an idea. It was just, we had five or six ideas that we wanted to do, but just didn't have them fleshed out, really, just the basic ideas. And sometimes it can go somewhere. So don't discount that. We always write them down. One of us always writes them down. It be it you or me. I think last year it was my job to write them down, so I did.
Yeah, buddy.
And we're on the schedule pretty much from what we set for last year.
Yeah,
we have Metal Shark Bro coming with the, we got the five pages for that, and that looks freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And we're writing up the pitch document now, and then that was the first one we said we were going to try and do this year, and then we have a couple more after that, and then we have two more that are up in the air that may or may not, and then I think one or two after that. So we've got our schedule pretty much set out.
Yeah.
Which is what we planned on doing last year. We didn't, last year we were all over the place.
we got one book finished last year.
We did. Two if you count the If Anthology.
It's true. I didn't even think about that one. The If Anthology is done. Yes. I mean, it's just a matter of just working, man, just working. Like, what do we want to do and how we want to do it? And, you know, I just think you and I eventually have to take that Kickstarter plunge, like just stop worrying about it and just fucking do it. Because, I mean, I don't know, man, we keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. But I mean, I think eventually we're just going to have to bite the bullet and go, fuck it, let's just kickstart this thing and actually do it.
We have to speak to the reality of it, which is for us is we don't. And this may be true of other people who are looking to launch a Kickstarter, so this might help. This information might be helpful to you guys. We don't like to kickstart. Bobby and I are, that's what our thing is. Neither of us like to ask people for money to produce books. But in the cost scheme of making comics, it's really the only feasible way we can continue to make comics at the level that we're trying to do. I mean, we could do what we've been doing, one or two, but our goal this year is to get out more, and to do that, Kickstarter is a big plus, I think, in that respect. Do you know what I mean?
It's something that we have to do, and you have to do, if you have to run Kickstarters effectively, you have to do it well. You have to have your pages and your images and your, I mean, every Kickstarter now has a damn pie chart. I don't know how to make a pie chart. I don't know how to do that. How do you make a pie chart? You know what I'm saying?
I didn't do it.
My point is, like, how do you make a pie chart? I don't know how to make a pie chart.
We needed a pie chart. So it's
everybody has a pie chart on their Kickstarters.
I was like, hey, Sean, we need a pie chart. And he was like, oh, I could do that. No problem. And I was like, okay. I'm just making sure. He's like, yeah, it's not an issue. I just do blah, blah, blah. He's like, hey. And he said, how's this? And I was like, okay, let's make it like, the colors represent where the money goes, so people know what we're doing, because I'd rather be transparent and all that, because I had a guy at work be like, when he's like, hey, you made a lot of money, and I was like, oh, I didn't make nearly what you think I made.
After
everything is bought and paid for, I didn't really make what you think I did.
Nobody does. Because
it just looks great on paper. It really does.
Well, because you're paying everybody, too. You ain't making shit. But that's the thing. It's like, you know, there's just so much that we have to do, and just stop being cowards about it, I guess, you know?
I wouldn't say we're being cowardly. I think we're being more, what's the word, procrastinating.
I would say cowardly. That's the
cowardly?
Word.
Cowardly?
Yes.
I would say procrastinating.
You just got to bite the bullet and do the Kickstarter.
I'm not afraid if they say no to us on Kickstarter. No, never. And this should, I don't want to say that this is a lesson that other people should apply in comics, but it works for me. I'm never afraid to ask anybody to do anything, and you can ask Bobby. Ask people.
It's true.
I don't care because I work in sales as for my day job, so I hear no all the freaking time. No doesn't bother me. I'd rather hear no than maybe or that's kind of good or something. No,
we'll
is
get
fine.
Back to you. That's the worst thing is we'll get back to you because like bitch, you know you ain't getting back to me.
Just and tell I'm, me no.
I'm and not- I mean, and when I say bitch, I mean bitch in a non-gender term. Like I mean that. No way, set the form against any you know, creed or religion or gender identity. That's just like a...
You mean know, in a Jesse Pinkman way? Where he calls everybody bitch?
I mean it more in like a dude sense. Or, you know, what's a more effective one? Motherfucker, you ain't getting back to me. Like, just stop fronting. We all
Why
know.
Why you fronting?
Yeah, we know it ain't happening. You know it ain't happening. I know it ain't happening. Just be like, nah, son, we good. And then I'm good. You know what I mean?
I'm good too. It doesn't work. I mean, and it's not because I'm extra resilient or anything, but I'm just not afraid to ask because I'm like, it never goes anywhere if you don't ask.
Yeah, I just hate me some maybes.
Maybe. The weirdest thing is when you ask artists, hey, like, I really like your stuff. I've written some stuff and like, maybe we could work on something together. And they go, oh yeah, maybe. And then like, they're like, here, email me. I email and you don't get back. Like, I just go, all right, well, I just move on to somebody. Obviously you don't want to.
And I've wasted my life. And it's cool when artists don't want to work with me. I mean, I'm not saying,
I'd rather them say no.
Yeah. I'm not saying every artist should work with me because you know, I'm not for every artist.
Because you suck.
Yeah. I mean, that's the main part. Yeah.
I suck too.
Yeah, we suck, Goose.
We suck collectively as a team.
Yes, as two stupid idiots just sucking all over town. It's two fucking dumb dummies being dumb.
But Kickstarter's tough, so I understand people's apprehension to it because it's like,
yeah, it's not because everybody kickstarts stuff and like. I don't know, man. I mean, other people don't have that kind of... I just have this, like... I don't know, man. I think it's just a personal hang-up that I need to get over. And you know what? Probably when I get back from Savannah Comic Con, which I'll be doing in the middle of the month, I'll just get over that.
What date is that so people can come see you there?
You know what? That's a good question. I have no fucking idea. Let me check my calendar. I know I'm doing the Jonathan Hickman Q&A, which will be fun.
You need to give him a full moon Fredo and be like, look how awesome I am.
24th and 25th is the Savannah Comic Con. We're leaving. We're going to get there on the 22nd. So we're taking the family, going to spend a couple days in Savannah. It should be fun.
That's nice. Yes.
Yeah, well, Stephanie's always wanted. The only reason why I'm really doing this show is because Stephanie's wanted to go to Savannah. She's like, I've always wanted to go to Savannah. I bet it's fun. I've heard good things. So let's go.
I mean, hey, you get to sell some books. And
hopefully.
And have some fun.
Hopefully. That's the plan. Hopefully I can sell some books.
Well, Hickman likes crime. Give him an If anthology.
Here's an If anthology. That's right. I have those. I have to sell those things. Yeah, start here, then go back here, and then read from there.
Yeah.
I got a couple of those I can sell. I totally forgot about that. And then
You need to ship me some of them.
Yes, I've been so lazy about everything.
It's all good. I'm not mad.
Just so lazy.
I had people ask if they could buy one, and I went, at Barnes & Noble.
At the store?
I don't have none. And they're like, for real? And I'm like, here's the ISBN number. And they're like, damn, that's kind of cold. I was going to buy it from you. And I'm like, yeah, eventually. And I was like, and they're like, oh, the publisher didn't send them yet. No, they sent them to Bobby, but Bobby's been, he's been down. So
he just, okay. I think more lazy than down.
I'll get them eventually. I know he's not going to totally.
I'm going to pocket all that shit. I'm going to burn them for warmth because it's so cold in southwestern Ohio. Got to stay warm.
Is it cold there today?
I mean, it's always cold. I mean, it's wintertime. That's what happens, you know?
It wasn't that cold here. It's like 50 today.
It was, it's always cold here, man. Always. Always. Always.
Well, you have coyotes in your neighborhood, though. So you're like in the wild, wild west out there.
Yeah, it's really fun.
We have deer. That's it.
We have lots of deer.
I've seen a skunk, but it was far away. So I wasn't having like a Jack Hanna wildlife experience or anything. It was far. I was like, oh, that's a skunk.
I've seen skunks.
Nice to know. He was far away from me. I was in the car. I was protected. You know, you think that about deer, but they're actually bigger. Like,
yes.
When you see them real close, I'm like, damn, that's a big ass deer.
They're beautiful animals. They're beautiful animals, though, I got to tell you.
They're big, though. Jeez, yeah. I didn't expect them to. Because one time they were grazing right by the side of the road, and it looked up, and like I was rolling by kind of slow, and the deer was like watching me like, what's up, motherfucker? And I was like, what's up, dude? And I just kept rolling. I was like, I don't want you to jump or freak out or like hit my car in any way. And then the buck was across the way, and he had
pretty big horn, so I was like, oh, he's pretty big too. I mean, I'm just guesstimating that he's much bigger than I am if I stepped out of the car. But they didn't look that big, you know, because I've always seen them from afar until I was rolling through the neighborhood late one night coming back from Drew's, and I was like, whoa, that's a big-ass deer.
Big-ass deer, son.
Let's say it happens. Big-ass deer happen.
This will be gonna eat your face.
What you been reading?
What have I been reading? I just finished, so far this year, I finished my Conan novel. That was good.
Nice.
And then I finished my Star Trek novel. Now I'm reading the sequel to the Star Trek novel. And then the next thing I'm going to read is We Can Never Go Home Again.
Oh, you never read that?
I have not read it.
It's fantastic.
I know. I'm going to read that. That's the next thing on my list is We Can Never Go Home Again. And then after that, it's weird because I hadn't been to my comic shop in forever. I hadn't been in months, and I was actually dreading going because I hadn't been that long. And I told them to stop pulling things for me, and it got mixed up along the way, and they were pulling like 2 books a month for me, which wasn't that bad, but I hadn't been in so long. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to owe these people like millions of dollars. So I went, but then I told them to stop pulling everything, and then I went into my shop and I got what I needed. And as when I was at the shop, it's weird because like the industry being what it is, and just kind of, you know, and shops are closing all over the place and you hear all kinds of crazy things. I love my comic shop because like, hey, let me ask you a question. Do you guys have this book? And he's like, yeah, but it's not that good. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, I would skip it. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, well, what about this one? He was like, yeah, you know, nah. So like, I'm asking him for all these books. And like, you think he'd be like, yeah, it's right over there. I'm getting like, meh. I don't know about that one.
It's only all right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, you know what? Part of me was like, wow, man, this dude is just, I mean, granted, I don't think $7 is going to save your shop. But I mean, I was shocked. But then at the same time, too, I was like, that's very awesome. Because I would say, what about this one? No, I don't think so. He's like, but you should get this one. And I was like, oh, okay. So I picked it up. And I was like, that's cool. And so I bought it and it was okay. I'm being very vague because I don't want to, you know, let the cat out of the bag about what I'm looking at and what I'm looking for. But I was just shocked about how honest he was about things that I was interested in buying. Like, hey, what about this one? But I've heard good things. And I was like, wow, that's really weird. So,
well, I mean, that's how you know you're at the right shop, though.
Yes, that is how you know you're at the right shop. Like, if you go to the shop and the owner of the shop or the kid working at the shop is tripping over everything. This is great. This is great. This is great. This is better. This is great. This is better. This is great. Got to wonder. When the dude is, I mean, he was talking me out of buying stuff. I was like, wow, I heard that was really good. Meh. Like, all right. Meh. but then at the same time too, he did recommend other things, and some of them were things that he was pretty high on that I was like, meh. So we kind of met halfway on a couple of things, but it was an interesting conversation. So lots of mehs. You know, and again, it was books that I was like, wow, these things should be killer. I'm really stoked about this. Nah, son.
I found some cool stuff. See, at the last Comic-Con at Heroes, well, at Minicon, they had like the $5 trade section. I got a Kazar.
Nice.
By Mark Waid and Andy Kubert.
Oh, that sounds fun.
And it is like, it looks great. It's awesome. It's like they're in the Savage Lands. I was like, this looks awesome. I'm going to read it. It looks like Kazar meets Turok. He's got a bow. I was like, I'm going to read this. It looks
dope. That sounds interesting.
I just put it off to the side because I had other things I had to read first. Like, I got stuff for Christmas that I haven't read that I've been working on reading. And one of those was The Private Eye from Brian K. Vaughan.
Okay, I've heard good things about that.
Yeah, I got that for Christmas. And I got The Dark Crystal.
I've heard the Boom book. Isn't that a Boom book?
It's Arkea. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So by Boom Studios owns Arkea, I believe.
Okay. I've heard good things about that.
If you're stuck on, now here's what I would say. If you're stuck on the old Henson, Brian Froud art, then you're not getting that because it's a different art style, but it works. So I don't think they're doing any disservice because initially what I heard was the art's not doing the Brian Froud Henson stuff a service.
Okay.
And so I looked at it in the store in the single issues and was like, yeah, I'll buy this, but I'm going to wait till it comes out. in a graphic novel format, in a trade paperback format. That way I don't have to buy issue to issue and worry where it is and all that stuff. So I did. I did say I wanted it, and I got it for Christmas. And I was like, oh, this is awesome, because I really wanted this. So I was very excited by that. So I wanted to read that. So I started it, and I got through the first chapter, and it was really cool. But I have to read the rest of it. Okay. So the first chapter was good. I can say that. The first chapter of that was good. Then I read Umbrella Academy.
How'd you like it?
I didn't finish it. I'm on the very last chapter.
Okay. How are you liking it?
It's good. It's weird, though.
It is weird.
It's really strange, because they're like, it's kind of like a series of unfortunate events meets a superhero team.
Yeah.
It's very goth.
I really dig that book. I've always said that. I love that book.
The only thing I'm still questioning is, like, why does Space Boy have a gorilla body? They haven't told us yet. So
yeah, you'll get there.
Okay, it's there. Okay.
You'll get there.
Okay. Because I was like, I'm on the fourth issue, technically, and I still don't know why he has a gorilla body.
Yeah.
But it's really cool up until there, so I'm like, okay, this is kind of neat.
The artwork is great.
Oh, yeah. It reminds me of Mignola. The artwork looks like Mignola, but it's Gabriel Ba.
Yeah.
But it looks like Mignola.
Yeah, the artwork is great. Well, I mean, Dave Stewart's coloring it, too, so.
That's probably why it looks a lot like Mignola's work. Yeah.
It's good, man. I like that. I you know what? That's something I go. That's something I need to buy that I haven't purchased, but I'll go to the library, like, once a year and just pick up the first trade of that and just read it and go, wow, this is just so wacky.
I got to the part where she got turned into the violin, and now I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Like, there was parts of it I dug. Sometimes I'm not sure about the dialogue, but other than that, it's good.
I like it. This is like, it's just so kind of wacky and just strange and kind of chaotic in like the funnest way possible, and it's goth as shit. But it's really enjoyable. I like it.
So far, I'm digging what I read. So I like it.
I'm curious to see how they're going to turn that into a television show.
Oh, wow. There's that supposed to be a TV show?
Yes. I think it's a Netflix show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. If they can do it. Now, I didn't read the second trade, so I haven't got through the first one yet. So
the second trade is good. It's not as good as the first one. It's a little actually wackier.
Hmm. Let me just say, if you haven't read the book, it's pretty wacky. So.
Yeah, it's just kind of all over the place.
I dig all the talking chimps, though. So I like
yeah, that. Me too. I like the talking chimps a lot.
You could do talking chimps in anything, and you pretty much have my money.
Yeah, so. I like talking chimps.
Anything with talking monkeys, and you got us.
I agree.
Both of us.
Yeah, I mean, we have a talking monkey in one of our books.
Yeah, so we like talking monkeys.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I mean, I like talking animals in general because I watch too many cartoons. And that's the weird part. I was thinking about this one day, like listening to people talk about their influences growing up and how like kids were into like Monster Squad and shit like that. And like, I don't know about you, but I was always more of like a comedy kid. Like I was always more into funny movies. Like when I talk to people of my ilk, of my generation, like they have movies that they watched all the time. Like, tell me some of the movies you watched all the time when you were a kid.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Okay.
Conan the the Destroyer.
Okay.
Goonies.
Okay.
As a kid, what was I really into? I liked the Indiana Jones movies and Star Wars.
Okay.
That would about round it out.
Okay. See, when I was a kid, like I liked a lot of those movies too. Some of those I didn't get a row to appreciate until I was older. Of course I liked Indiana Jones. Of course I liked Star Wars. But most of my days were filled with like watching Back to School on Comedy Central over and over and over again. And like watching Looney Tunes cartoons and watching like Who's Harry Crumb and like I've seen My Blue Heaven. The Steve Martin, Rick Moranis.
That's a great movie.
I've seen that movie probably a million times. it's weird because those are the weird things that have kind of shaped my existence. And like, I don't know if everyone shares those feelings. Like when I go to the grocery store with my wife and we're walking around the grocery store and we're in the vegetable section and I go, arugula. I haven't had arugula in 6 weeks. She looks at me and she's like, what are you talking about? And I go, it's a vegetable. And that's straight out of my, that's straight out of My Blue Heaven. And she's like, you're a fucking maniac. But it's just like, I don't know if everyone gets these weird references. I don't know if everyone's seen
Back. I would have got that because I love the My Blue Heaven.
I don't know if everyone, I don't know if everyone's seen Back to School a million times.
I've seen Back to School a ton of times. Well, not a ton, but enough. I would have to say as a kid, you're talking like, I watched more cartoons than movies. So
do you know what movie I watched all the time growing up? And I think, again, this is why I make comics of talking animals, Hot to Trot.
Hot to Trot? Really?
Yes.
I've only seen it. I don't even remember that movie, really.
I love Hot to Trot.
Talking, it's a talking horse, right?
Yes. And voice, it's Bobcat Goldthwait. Bobcat Goldthwait was a big part of my childhood existence, like watching the Police Academy movies and shit like that. But Hot to Trot was Bobcat Goldthwait.
And we should get Bobcat Goldthwait on the pod.
He's actually a serious filmmaker now.
He's actually made some film. He made The World's Best Dad with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Have you seen that movie?
He made a documentary about a comic in Buffalo who was very big in the Buffalo scene, who was molested as a child and like who went on to testify in front of Congress and all this stuff. Like, he's a very serious filmmaker. But yeah, Bobcat Goldthwait. It was Bobcat Goldthwait and John Candy. John Candy was the voice of Don the Horse. And I have seen that movie a million times.
What is the movie that John Candy did when he's a private eye?
That's Who's Harry Crumb.
That's a movie I saw when I was.
I love Who's Harry Crumb. Because what's it? Jeffrey Jones is in that one. The dad from Beetlejuice, which is another movie I probably watched like a million times.
And also
Ferris Bueller. He was the principal.
Ferris Bueller was in there, yeah. What I was going to say was the, not John Candy, but the Police Academy movies were on when I was a kid.
Steve Guttenberg, dude, he was the best.
So those used to be on TV, on HBO.
All the time.
Whatever came on HBO is what pretty much did it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Ghostbusters is a part of that.
Yes.
You know, I love Ghostbusters as a kid.
I remember the lady that used to babysit me had like this giant, like, shelf, this giant wooden shelf just filled with VHS tapes, and she had like all those movies that I mentioned, and I would just watch like Back to School. And I would, she's like, don't you want to watch something else? Like, nah, I want to watch Back to School. And I would watch Back to School constantly. Every time it was on HBO, like HBO or Comedy Central, because it used to be on Comedy Central every other day. Like, Back to School was on constantly in my formative years, and I would watch it every time. I love that movie. And I don't know, man, it's just weird how different things kind of shape different people, you know, different influences. Like, when I read people's like, yeah, you know, it's kind of like it's like Goonies meets Monster Squad meets so-and-so, and I was like, where's the book about the fucking talking horse, man, that solves mysteries? That's what I want to read. That's what I want to write. Because that's what it's like Hot to Trot meets fucking Who's Harry Crumb. And it's like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? Like, yeah, that's what I want to do. And I know you feel that way too sometimes, because when we're talking, like, you and I sometimes are on two different wavelengths when it comes to like ideas and pitches and kind of what about this, and I've heard you go, I don't want to do any more talking animals. Like, yeah, I've heard you say that. Like, dude, I'm done. Like, I don't have any more talk. It's like, no, man, every
animal can talk and it's cool.
Every animal solves mysteries, bro. That's life.
And I mean, some of it's cool. It just depends.
I get in weird moods. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Because I grew up on all that stuff, and then the cartoons were like Voltron and Silverhawks and that stuff. I used to watch the shit out of Robotech.
Yeah, so, Robotech was cool. But it's weird though how many pitches you see like are, it's like Indiana Jones meets something, or it's like Goonies meets this.
Yeah, because you always fall back on your childhood stuff. Like, I used to love He-Man. I used to watch the shit out of
He-Man. Yeah, He-Man. The thing about He-Man, though, is like when you watch it now,
it doesn't hold up.
It does. G.I. Joe is probably the worst one.
Lion-O and the Thundercats is pretty bad, too, because they had the space cop lady, and her voice was the same as Chitara's, and it didn't even change in tone. She'd be like, Lion-O,
you're going to go here. And then he'd be like, thunder, thunder, Thundercats, ho! And then everything comes, and then you hear Chitara talk right after her. Like, you heard the Lion-O break, and then you hear Lion-O. I'm like, wait a second.
That's the same dude.
That's the same lady. She's doing this. They just saved on a voice actor, you know, because they had the space cop lady with the blonde ponytail. I don't know if you remember her or not.
I'm going to tell you, I don't.
I mean, Thundercats. Thundercats, I spent a lot of time watching Thundercats.
I like Mumra. Like, don't get me wrong. I dig Mumra.
I do a weird Mumra impression. So.
Ah, that's cool. Can I hear your weird Mumra?
Yeah, sure. We'll do it right now.
All right, let me hear it.
Ancient spirits of evil, transform this decayed form into Mumra, the ever living.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
For not having seen that cartoon.
But I mean, it's interesting though how it's just stuck in the back of your head. Like you, like, yeah, I got this.
Oh, I know. I've seen enough Thundercats to know. And the new one, they got rid of that whole spiel. Like, I don't think he did it in the new Blu-ray. He just changed. So they have the new versions of He-Man and Thundercats came out like 2007.
Yeah, you were telling me that.
Yeah, he doesn't do it, I don't think.
That's weird.
Because I have the Blu-ray and Connor and I are watching it. And he was into it. Like, my son was into it. So I was like, oh, we'll watch more of these. The boy's into this.
Yeah.
And then it got to a point where he just fell off. And I was the only one watching it, and I was
that happens.
And I'm like, okay, I don't think he's into it anymore. And so he stopped wanting to watch it. He goes through phases. For a while, it was Star Wars Rebels. I brought those on Blu-ray.
Okay, yeah, you were telling me that.
And he likes that one. We finished that one, though.
Oh, that's cool.
We just didn't finish the entire, the third season still out, but that Blu-ray is like $30. And I'm like, I'll wait till it goes on sale.
See, my son right now is into Star Wars, the Clone Wars, the cartoon.
Oh, that's great because it's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix, so I don't have to do anything. But the shitty part about it is he only wants to watch like the same like six episodes.
Oh,
like, wow. I've seen the same six episodes of Clone Wars every time. But it's not bad. I mean, I tell you what, man, Anakin Skywalker in Clone Wars is way more enjoyable. Cool. Than in any of the movies. Like, in the movies, he's the most annoying son of a bitch in the whole wide world. And the cartoons, he's kind of stomachable.
Well, he's actually a good protagonist in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He makes mistakes. He's flawed. He makes bad choices at times.
Kevin, we all make mistakes, buddy.
Yeah, but sometimes kids' cartoons have a protagonist that doesn't make mistakes.
We all make mistakes.
Yeah, sometimes kids' cartoons don't have a protagonist that makes mistakes.
That's one of the things that I really enjoyed about the new Star Wars movie, is that the plan that Poe and Finn came up with was totally stupid and didn't work. That never happens in those kind of movies, ever.
The plans always work, yeah. The
plan always
I never thought about that.
Yeah, that was one of those, like, their plan was dumb and failed miserably. Like, isn't that great? Like, it's a stupid plan, and it sucked. And you never see that in Star Wars.
Usually it's a dumb plan. We're going to do this and fly this ship into this big other ship and shoot this thing, and it's going to work out fine.
And it does. Works perfectly.
Yeah.
But in this one?
Not this time.
Not so much.
It wasn't there for you.
Nah, I really
didn't think about that.
Yeah.
You're talking about it in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their big plan was kind of stupid.
I actually liked the movie, so.
So did I. I enjoyed it. I only saw it once. I was good.
Yeah, I only saw it once, too. I was going to see it more, but I was like, once is enough for now. Like, it wasn't. The weirdest thing about these Star Wars movies to me is I remember seeing even the prequels more than once.
Yeah, I saw the first prequel Phantom Menace twice in like 12 hours, because I saw it at midnight and then I saw it again at like 10 a.m. with another friend. The more I saw it, the less I enjoyed it. But the funny part is the Clone Wars, or the Attack of the Clones, is by far the shittiest movie ever made.
Really?
Oh yeah. It's not even.
I think Revenge of the Sith is worse.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I can actually stomach the clone one.
Wow.
I mean, partially because of the Jango Fett, Obi-Wan fight.
I do like Jango Fett, but the love story in
Attack of the Clones
is just
awful. Yeah.
It's intolerable. Like, it's the worst thing I've ever seen. How does she fall in love with him? Like, he's whiny and stupid and idiotic. If anything, she should have fallen in love
With Obi-Wan.
Because, I mean,
he's smooth.
It's Ewan McGregor, for God's sakes.
He's a handsome man.
Yeah. You fucking idiot, George Lucas. But whatever. What do I know? I'm just saying.
If she falls in love with Ewan McGregor, though, like, Luke and Leia are never born.
No, what happens is, like, I read this on Twitter and I really agreed with it. I wish I could give credit where credit's due, but, like, she falls in love with Ewan McGregor. Ewan McGregor's like, nah, I can't. I'm a Jedi. And he adheres to his Jedi kind of his mentality. Like, nah, dude, I'm good. So then she just kind of, I guess, revenge bangs or kind of pity bangs Anakin, who's in love with her. And then, you know, it kind of comes out where she's like, nah, I don't love you. I love Obi-Wan. And then that's even more of a reason for him to be like, fuck that dude. You know what I mean? Because what's the best way to break up a friendship?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Any friendship can be broken up by weird relationship stuff.
You know, so I mean, that's the easiest way I can think of it. Because somebody on Twitter was like, how is she in love with a 9-year-old boy when young ass Ewan McGregor standing right there? I'm like, that's the best thing I've ever heard. Like, yes. And then the answer was, of course, because a man wrote it. And it's like, yeah, that makes total sense. That
makes sense too. Like,
do I want to think this 9-year-old's hot or Ewan McGregor?
The force compelled her.
Yes, right.
The midichlorians in his Christ-like midichlorian blood.
So dumb.
It compelled her onward into intercourse.
So dumb. So dumb. But there you go. Well, that was the Word Bros episode. Speaking of dumb, I think that's a good way to end it.
It is.
So maybe Kevin and I will do a Kickstarter. We just need to sack up and be like, not be so scaredy cats about it. Just do it.
I mean, we'll do it.
We won't. I know we won't. We're not going to, but we got
it. No, we're going to do it.
All right.
We have to. We will.
When I come back from Savannah, we'll talk about it and try to run it and figure it out.
There we go.
Right before tax season, bro. That's the time to do it, man. People are going to be throwing money at stuff. They got their income tax checks, baby. Well, thank you guys for listening to Word Bros.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys tuning in, and we look forward to interacting more with you guys throughout this year.
Yeah.
And always find us on Twitter at Word_Bros.
That's right. And then Kevin is Kevin Cuff.
Kevin_Cuff. And then you are at BFrance19.
That's me, baby. That's me. So there you go. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.